Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern Stories told by Spooky Gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe, and I have a story for you today. But Robin, first, how is life?
We are eating some good food.
We are.
Zoe made a charcuterie board, and I'm loving it.
Yes, I did make a charcuterie board.
We are calling it that, yeah.
Yeah.
Charcuterie board.
Yep. It was an internet meme before I started saying it. Yeah.
Oh, but I thought you were just so funny.
I mean, I am, but I have to give credit where credit is due.
I just realized that your charcuterie tray is a pizza pan with saran wrap over it.
I told you that as I was bringing it out, but I think you were distracted by the shock and awe of
I was distracted by the shock and awe. Do you know how much cheese in there? Guys, the dried salami.
Ooh. Yes, let's say it was pepperoni. It was ham. I say was because half of it's gone. And then dried salami for the meats. And then I had white Gouda, or Gouda, and white cheddar, and cheddar blocks for the cheeses. And I cut up some Lady Anne apples.
Ooh.
And we have some baby carrots, and we have some peanut butter, and some ranch, and some crackers.
I brought the wine.
And Robin brought their wine.
So, basically, Zoe, in answer to your question, I'm having a grand old time. And also, you have M&Ms, and, like, that's just what's on my plate right now.
Yes. Robin just took a photo. A very great photo.
I'm posting that tonight.
Okay.
Or maybe tomorrow for engagement purposes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, that's your life update, what you were doing right now?
My life update is what you can see in front of you. How's your life? What are you up to?
Well, Robin, you know how every time you come over, I'm like, I'm sorry my apartment is a mess?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry my apartment is a mess.
It looks nice. I like the black web thing you got going on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's intentional. It's a Halloween decoration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Kari and I are doing something that I'm calling fall cleaning. You know, a little bit of a pun on spring cleaning.
Huh.
Thanks. okay. I don't know what to do with that. Oh no, Robin's had too much wine. She has the giggles.
I'm fine. Luckily, this isn't my episode to tell a story.
Yes. So what we're doing is we're just like doubling down. So we're going to get rid of half the crap we own. Not actually, literally. But
so
we're
like
gonna
one
go...
and a half couches? She has three couches in her living room.
Shush.
I'm so sorry.
I also have that round chair too.
I love your round chair.
Yeah, so we're just going to go through and see what we can get rid of, what we're not using, donate what we can, sell what we can kind of thing. So we're focusing on that. We're also focusing on saving and earning more money. So Kari's getting into his crafts and I'm helping him with it. And we're making things and we're trying to sell things online. And we're also trying not to spend so much money eating out. And that leads into we're going to clean out our pantry of junk food. We're watching what we eat. I've been to the gym 5 times out of the last 5 days.
You're a maniac.
Yeah. So I've been transitioning. So basically what I'm going to be doing is on Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm going to be running and doing like general workouts, like crunches, things like that. And then Tuesday and Thursdays, I'm doing karate. Friday, I'm doing sparring. And then Sundays, I'm running with my mom. And so I guess Saturday is my day of rest, but it's also my day of doing things. So
that's the opposite.
But it's like my day of not working out. So I'll be like, but I'm not taking it to like the extreme,
mm-hmm.
but I have been entering what I eat into a food tracker,
mm-hmm.
not to count calories, but just to be more aware of what I'm putting into my body, especially since I'm somebody who eats what they're allergic to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
wait, no, shoot, you're allergic to this wine 100%.
It's fine.
It's red.
It's
she is
fine.
Allergic to the color red.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
We thought I was allergic to Red 40, but it turns out I'm allergic to citric acid, which is in a lot of things that Red 40 is also in.
This is wine, I'm sure it has citric acid.
Oh, 100%, it's grapes. I can't eat grapes. So let me look at our plate. The meat, I'm probably not allergic to, well, I'm lactose intolerant, so I am allergic to the cheeses. The meats, I'm probably fine with. I'm definitely allergic to the apple. But other than that, I think I'm fine.
I think you should just enter this in as the Shark Coochie board in your little app tracker.
Yeah, I don't... That I was honestly thinking about that all day. I'm like, how do I enter various pieces of meat, cheese, crackers, and apples into my...
Just type the shark emoji and the peach emoji.
And see what comes up?
It'll get what you mean.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we're just doubling down and we're trying, because I don't know if I mentioned this, Robin, the 8th was our 1 year anniversary of living together.
Oh, yeah, I saw on Facebook.
Yeah. We're both wanting to kind of like, okay, we took that year to live together and be cutesy and whatever, but now we're going to like power couple.
Let's get down to business.
To defeat the Huns.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this, Zoe, but I was giving
you... Did you send me daughters? When I asked for Zoe, sons.
Sorry, I don't know if you saw this, Zoe, but I was giving you hard eyes during your entire thing because I love initiative.
Oh, let's see how long it lasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you see my hard eyes gradually fading. Well, I have something southern. I have something southern for you today.
Oh, do you?
I do, yeah.
That's shocking.
So... If you have heard some of the quiz shows that Zoe has done for me, that I lose them regularly.
Oh no, am I about to lose one?
Yeah, you are, because the thing is, I've grown vindictive. So Zoe, you do have a bit of an advantage, which I'm going to swiftly take away from you.
Okay.
I think you've seen this list before.
Okay.
So I went to Best Life Online, an article that says... the title is 25 Craziest Facts About the South. It is by Kaylee Coleman. And I'm based off of some things you've told me in this podcast. I'm pretty sure you've seen this. The idea is I'm going to give you a headline that for the most part I am reading verbatim. There were 25 facts. I chose 5 of them. For the most part, I'm reading them verbatim, except there's like one thing that is taken out and you must guess that one thing.
Okay.
Now.
True, false, false, true.
No, that's not what this is. If you get it right, you get 1 point.
Yay.
If you get it wrong, you lose 5 points.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry. I'm really just out to get you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, one. The world's largest drive-in restaurant is in what state?
Texas.
No. -5. It's in Georgia.
Okay.
It's called the Varsity. It's in Atlanta. And fun fact, I have been to the Varsity, but I did not have the mental capabilities to enjoy it because I had such like I think low blood sugar that I was shaking. So I was like, I need a hamburger stat. Oh. Fun facts. This is another Georgia one. Ready for number 2?
Okay. Georgia.
It's not all guess the state. There's a Georgia island inhabited by wild blank.
Armadillos.
Why do you think that would be the answer?
Because it's not monkeys.
-10. Well, that's an ad. -5. So now you have -10. It's horses.
Horses. Interesting.
Cumberland Island. It's very near St. Simon's Island.
Okay.
Which is where Mary the Wanderer was. Ooh, episode 1. But, yeah, they have wild horses. It's dope. I haven't been.
Oh, okay.
Thought about it a lot.
Were you a horse girl, Robin?
No, but, like, I wanted to be.
Okay, okay.
Number 3. You can get jail time for cursing on the blank in South Carolina. So, like, what type of, let's say, environment can you be in South Carolina in which you can go to jail for cursing?
Church?
No. Like, okay, I'm going to give you a hint. Like, an ecological environment.
A desert? What?
In South Carolina. Armadillo desert? Where do you think we are? You're still stuck on Texas. I don't even know Texas. Yeah, they do, I think.
I'm sorry. You say an ecological area, and I'm thinking biomes.
Okay, think just a tiny bit smaller. Okay.
A park? A grocery store.
Sorry, I cursed, but that's because you said park was like an ecological environment. The grocery store? I'm sorry. I like honestly don't want you to get this one wrong because it's so simple. You can't curse on the beach.
Oh, okay.
Myrtle Beach specifically.
Okay. Really? Myrtle Beach?
I know, right?
I think they have t-shirts with curse words at
You Myrtle can't Beach. Say it. Well, I mean, like, okay, the idea, you're probably not going to go to jail if you do it. The idea right. is you could be fined or go to jail.
Right. And it's probably, like, one of those, like, gotcha things where they want to bring somebody in for something totally unrelated and they curse on the beach and you'd be like, oh, that's jail time.
But I don't know really... about that, but maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Anything's possible. You're at negative 15.
Thank you.
What was discovered under the University of Alabama sidewalks in 2015?
Dead bodies.
No. Weapon of war. Or, like, yeah, weapon of war.
Is that a nuke?
No, they didn't find a nuke under the
university. Oh, you're saying weapon of war isn't the name of the thing that was found. You're saying that's the category of...
It's the category.
Okay, a tank.
That's a really big thing to find under... It's cannonballs. They had cannonballs.
Oh, okay.
Negative 20. Oh, and you're... I don't... You might get... I don't know. What creature can be found at the top of Stone Mountain? Which is a big mountain made of stone in Georgia.
Okay, it's in Georgia.
Oh my god, Zoe.
I've never heard of Stone Mountain before.
It's near Atlanta. It has giant Confederate soldiers and or generals carved into the side.
Oh, so...
It's that one. And it's stone, so it's like, how do you undo that?
I've never heard of that.
What?
Like a Mount Rushmore for Confederate generals?
It's less so their heads and more like, we carved out the outline into the stone that's already there.
So let me think of racist animals. lemurs.
Georgia!
Okay.
Do you think that lemurs are in Georgia? I don't know. I don't think so.
Eagles.
No. Live shrimp. You can find shrimp at the top of a very tall,
big-ass How was I supposed stone. To get that on?
I don't know. I don't even know how they get there.
I'm sorry. Aren't shrimp, like, in the ocean?
You'd think.
Okay.
I don't get it either.
Are there, like, ponds of seawater at the top of Stone Mountain?
I honestly question everything now.
And honestly, how unoriginal is that name? Stone Mountain.
There's actually, like, another Stone Mountain in the south, because I think it was in one of the Carolinas, and I passed the thing, and it was like, Stone Mountain! And I was like, what? Because the Stone Mountain I know of is that Stone Mountain. Hey, kitty. Hey. Are you being super nice to me? Thank you. Oh, she's so sweet. She wants my wine. Anyway, you lose with an astounding, record-breaking negative 25 points. Shame on you.
To be fair, none of those were easily guessable in the slightest.
I don't know what you're talking about. Do you have a story for us today?
I don't know. I kind of want to kick you out for trespassing.
You did make me this lovely shark coochie board, and here I am. Anyway, okay. What do you have for me?
Well,
me specifically. No listeners.
Oh.
They're not included.
Sorry, I'm writing down your something so that later when I'm referencing my Word document, when I'm writing things, I know what to say, what you did in the show notes. Because it is like 2 or 3 weeks away from now that I will be writing these show notes, and I'm typing it in as a very rude quiz. Just letting you know.
Okay.
But Robin... this past weekend, when I was in Florida, I drove about 15 minutes away from this location. I believe I stopped in a Starbucks one town over, but they told me that their point of sale system was down, and they couldn't sell me anything, and I was very upsetty.
I tried to go to a Starbucks the other day, and they said their system was down. They had a note on the door. I couldn't even go in.
Was it Sunday?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, one of those days.
I don't know, maybe somebody hacked Starbucks, allegedly. I'm not saying that. Starbucks, don't sue me. In fact, sponsor me, please. But yes, I am talking about the St. Augustine Lighthouse. Now, Robin, I do not believe this will be the last time we visit St. Augustine in our haunted hospitality podcast.
Oh, no, it's super haunted.
It's super haunted, and I saw photos of so many incredible ghosts. Okay. There's, like, apparently gallows nearby that, like, everybody who goes can get a photo of a ghost.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, the St. Augustine Lighthouse is located in St. Augustine, Florida.
What?
Yeah, I know. It was a real misnomer to me, too. I'm going to give you a little bit of history about the lighthouse for you lighthouse fanatics out there. The lighthouse was built in 1871, and it was finished in 1874. So it started in 71, finished in 74. 18.
Thanks for specifying that so clearly.
You're welcome. The lighthouse currently has the original First Order Fresnel lens. Don't ask me what that means. It is currently owned by the St. Augustine Lighthouse and Maritime Museum, which is a non-profit...
Maritime.
Sure. Oh, Maritime Museum. Maritime. Marine, like water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A non-profit that allows both history and ghost tours of the lighthouse. All proceeds go to underwater research, I believe, and excavation, because apparently a lot of ships have sunk at the coast.
Oh.
So I guess the lighthouse didn't do a very good job.
That is its one job.
So the site passed, the actual like grounds of the lighthouse passed between hands several times. There was a previous lighthouse that was built on the land in 1763. However, that lighthouse crashed into the sea in 1880, and its ruins are still visible underwater if you go scuba diving.
Lighthouses are just so dramatic.
They are. And they're like this big old tower for what?
To make ships not sink.
Yeah. Well, not crash.
Not crash.
Into the shoreline.
But then when they die, they crash into the sea.
Exactly.
That is just so cool.
So, like, they noticed that the old one was about to die, and that's why they started building this 1871 one, the new one, the current one, and,
I'm sorry, did you call the 1871 one the new one?
Yes, I did.
Brand spanking new!
So they noticed the old one was falling apart, and so they built the new one, and then retired the old one, and started working in the new one, and then the old one crashed into the sea.
I loved that phrase.
Crash into the sea.
Yeah.
The first lightkeeper of the current lighthouse was the last lightkeeper for the previous lighthouse. So that was just, like, poetic. And his name was William Russell, and he comes back later.
As a ghost?
As a ghost. Then Major William Harn, a Union war hero, and his wife Kate Harn, and their six daughters lived there for 20 years, and his daughters would serve lemonade on the porch of the keeper's lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
In 1886, the Charleston earthquake caused the lighthouse to sway violently, but they did not report any damage from the earthquake. The lighthouse was updated through the years several times, first due to plumbing, and secondly, due to electricity. So they included plumbing first, then electricity, including the keeper's house. So I don't know if you know, like, how lighthouses work, but basically there's the keeper's house, and it's split, it's like a duplex. So the main keeper, who keeps the... mainly, stays in... yeah.
The main keeper who mainly keeps the lighthouse.
He stays in one half with his family, and then the backup... or the assistant, I think is the word. The assistant, like, keeper, he stays in the other half of the house. And so they alternate shifts and things like that.
That's a nice little setup.
Mm-hmm. But in 1955, the lighthouse became automated. And so they no longer needed... They actually had a third person who didn't stay on that would come to, like, give them relief breaks and stuff like that. So they didn't need three people anymore, and then they didn't need two people anymore. It was no longer the lightkeeper, and he wasn't allowed to stay in the house. But basically, it transitioned to a different role where you did the same job, but you didn't get to stay in the house.
That sucks.
Yeah. So instead, the keeper house was rented to local residents until 1970, where it was purchased by the St. John's County, and then it was burned to the ground by an arsonist.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So only the basement remains of it. I think they, like, rebuilt a little bit of it, but the basement is the only original part. In 1980, a group of 15 women, known as the Junior Service League of St. Augustine, paired up with the Coast Guard and started restoring the lighthouse, and they repaired instead of replacing it. I'm sorry, I skipped words. they paired up with the Coast Guard to start restoring the lighthouse, getting it listed on the National Register of Historic Places so that it wouldn't be, like, torn down or condemned or anything like that.
Okay.
Then the original lens was functional until 1986 when someone shot it with a rifle. And the FBI was actually called in to figure out who shot it because it's technically federal. No, it wasn't federal property at this point, but I guess, like, it was such a huge thing.
This sounds like a job for the FBI.
Exactly. They never figured it out. And then they had the...
job was beyond the FBI.
So apparently the way lighthouse lenses work is that it has a series of prisms within it.
You could tell me literally anything about lighthouse lenses and I would believe you because I don't know anything.
And then you rub dog feces onto the lens to polish it.
Sounds right.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding about the feces part.
What?
Yeah, I know. But apparently some of the prisms within it were broken, but some of them remained fine. So instead of replacing the lens, they just repaired the few prisms. And it was, like, apparently, like, this huge deal that they were able to repair the prisms and restore the original lens. Like,
modern technology.
I know.
It's truly astounding.
In 1986.
Whoa.
Whoa. So then the current owners opened it as a museum in 1994 when they were still leasing it. However, they officially owned it in 2002. It is also haunted.
I did not expect that.
I know. I really throw things at you. You thought the true crime twist was going to be the person who shot the lens, didn't you?
It had like a whole who shot JR vibe to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hezekiah Petit moved into St. Augustine in 1871 to oversee the lighthouse construction. So this was as it was becoming constructed. Yes. Because he was the superintendent of lighthouse construction. So that's why he came to watch it be constructed.
I love these guys' very descriptive titles.
Yes. He brought his wife, Mary, and their four kids, Mary Adelaide. Go Mary for naming her first child after herself.
I like that energy.
I do. Too bad the child does end up dying. Eliza, Edward, and Carrie.
Okay.
So, Mary Adelaide, Eliza, and Carrie are all sisters, and then Edward's the son. He doesn't get to have fun with them. So, the children turned the construction site into a playground, and the workers would, like, occasionally join in. Like, they'd be like, oh, cute little kids playing around. Ha ha, yeah, I'm gonna get ya. You know, They would play with the kids. In 1873, the tower was only 42 feet high. It would eventually be 185 feet. And so they used railway carts. I said that right. Railway carts.
You said railway.
Okay. Railway carts. To move supplies from the ships at the coast to the construction grounds, and then they would take debris and move it from the construction grounds to the coast. It would literally go to the coast. So there was a single piece of wood that stopped it from just flipping upside down into the water. On July 10th, 1873, the three sisters, Mary, who was 15, Eliza, who was 13, and Carrie, who was 4, and a black girl who was 10 years old, but they didn't know the name of her. Mm-hmm. They think that her father he worked on the site. They rode the cart as a roller coaster, as they usually do. They would just ride it back and forth and have a grand old time. Mm-hmm. However, this time the piece of wood that would stop the cart from flipping into the ocean wasn't in place.
Okay.
So they rode the rail cart all the way to the end, and it got to the end, and the heavy cart flipped over, and the girls were pinned into the ocean underneath the cart.
Oh my god.
There was somebody at the construction site who saw this happen, and he ran over immediately, and the heavy cart is very heavy.
Yeah.
And he struggled, and he was able to get it up and off the girls. But by the time he got it off of them, the three oldest girls had already died. So Carrie, the 4-year-old, was the only one who survived. The other three drowned.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the entire town shut down for the funerals. And then the Petit family went back to their hometown in Maine. Mm-hmm. Because they just kind of were like, we're not going to be here anymore. Which is understandable.
I get that.
Yeah. Researchers have not been able to find the grave of the girl that was with them.
Yeah.
And like I said, they don't even know her name.
I mean, newspaper reports at the time were really not good at reporting Black people's names.
Right.
Which
was the only reason I even mentioned that she was a Black girl, was because half the stories that I found didn't even mention her. Mm-hmm. But she was there. She died. Her parents felt the same loss, you know? Yeah. So that was the end of the sad story until 1950s, when a lighthouse keeper heard footsteps in the keeper house upstairs area. He said it sounded like a child's footsteps, and so he went upstairs to investigate, and he didn't see anything. And he told what he heard to the main keeper, James Pippin. Now, I already told you, Robin, the main keeper and the assistant keeper are supposed to stay in the house. However, James Pippin refused to stay in the house after living there for a few years, because he said that the big house was haunted and he would not stay another night in it. So apparently while he was staying there, he saw some stuff.
I wonder, after a few years, what is the thing that makes you leave forever?
Yeah, I don't know. But he refused to go back and he slept in the much smaller lookout building instead.
Okay.
So when the lighthouse was automated and the property was rented out in 1955, the tenants who stayed there complained about ghostly things. There was a man who stayed there in the 1960s who said he once woke up at night to a small girl standing by his bed. He blinked to be like, whoa, what am I seeing? And when he opened his eyes again, she was gone. Mm-hmm. Then in...
I'm just thinking, like, that would be terrible. I hate the idea of waking up and seeing... When I've done this twice, I hate the idea of waking up and seeing somebody by your bed who should not be by your bed.
Yeah.
And by I've done this twice, I mean 2 times of sleep paralysis.
Right, yeah.
This hasn't... I haven't been intruded upon. Like, I'm saying there wasn't an intruder.
Yeah. What episode did you talk about that? Was that...
That was, I think it was in or... It was around the King's Tavern time, but I don't think it was King's Tavern. It might have been Moon River Brewing.
It would be in that era.
It was in that era.
But it's also on our TikTok if you want to go listen to Robin's.
Yeah, I give my take on sleep paralysis, and then Zoe stitches with me, and she gives her very different take on sleep paralysis, which is, like, much more disturbing.
But you also described your 2 occurrences with it.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
But in the autumn filter.
In your car.
In my car, waiting outside of a David's Bridal.
Oh, yay. Ooh, immediately after recording.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a multitasker, what can I say? Thank you.
Anyway, so after the 1970 fire, when the Junior Service League took the house to renovate, volunteers and construction workers noticed some odd things while they were renovating. They said that the basement was particularly
active. There was an extra syllable in there.
The basement was a particularly
yeah.
active area for ghosts, since it was the only part of the house not destroyed by the fire. It was original. So, psychics have called in or visited, and a lot of them swear up and down that the unnamed girl who was with them, who also died, that her name was Ellie or Eleanor. However, the researchers did, like, use this to try to find the girl, but they weren't able to find, like, any records of Ellie or Eleanor passing away at the time.
Okay.
But, again, that doesn't mean anything at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the ghost girls will play hide-and-seek with you.
Fun!
Yep. So, a lone staff member was closing up one night, but he heard giggling at the top of the tower. Thinking that someone was trying to hide in the lighthouse overnight, he went to investigate, but no one was there. He was at the top, and he was about to start walking down, and he heard giggling at the bottom of the tower. So what they'll do is, like, when you're down, they'll giggle at the top, and then when you go up, they'll giggle at the bottom, and you'll just end up chasing them, essentially.
Who are these people that chased ghostly giggles in empty places?
Well, I mean, he had to make sure that he wasn't about to, like, lock someone into the lighthouse overnight.
I mean, I guess that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would... I love the aesthetic of working in a White House. Of a lighthouse.
Robin's presidential campaign. Robin 2024. Here, here first.
Robin 2024. Oh, man.
Steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Lighthouse. I love the aesthetic. Could I do it? Not by myself.
No, no. I mean, I could. But the stairs, man. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
You're the one who is like Miss Wonder Woman over here.
Stairs murder me. It's like I forget to breathe when I'm on them.
Work on that.
Wow. No sympathy.
It's an easy fix.
Anyway. Okay, so a guest of the lighthouse was on the first step of the staircase, and so there was a tour guide at the first landing, and there was a bunch of people on the steps, and she was on the first step, and she was sitting there listening to the tour guide, and the tour guide finished their spiel and was like, okay, let's move on, and started going up the stairs. And as she tried to go up the stairs, she found her shoelaces were tied to the banister of the staircase. Some say it was the girls playing a prank on her. Some say it was her companions playing a prank on her.
Mm-hmm.
So she got pranked either way.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story.
That's the moral.
She got pranked either way.
A guest on a haunted tour. So you can take a haunted tour at night, okay? And you can rent EMFs from them, which electromagnetic something. But it's a meter that reads electric pulses, and where you're using them, you have to make sure that you, like, have your phone in airplane mode or off, because if you have an EMF reader next to your phone and you get a text, it'll go off.
Oh.
So EMF readers were actually originally developed for, like, construction or something like that, but then the ghost people were like, I can use this.
Because we think we know how ghosts work.
Yes. Okay. They give an electromagnetic pulse, I guess.
Apparently.
So a guest on a tour had an EMF readers and was in the basement, and she asked if they wanted to play hide and seek. The meter spiked, so she took that as a yes, and she's like, okay, go hide, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I hate this.
Okay, so the meter went dead after she finished counting, and then she walked around, like, calling out to the girls as she was, like, reading the scanner. And then she found them when the meter surged under a spiral staircase leading to the main floor. So she found them. And then she asked if they wanted to play again, and the meter spiked again. The process repeated as she scanned the room with the EMF reader, walked from room to room, and found them underneath a play table. And the EMF reader spiked.
Why is there a play table?
It's apparently original to the basement.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, to be honest with you, this sounds fun.
Playing hide and seek with ghosts? Heck yeah.
But I would not like to do it alone. And also probably not like to do it in general.
It was the girl who was doing it. I think one of her friends or something was on the stairs, and a tour guide was on the stairs. So she wasn't the only person, like, in the...
I'm just imagining her in a very dark place, like, just roaming around this empty cavernous...
Don't worry, you get a glow stick when you do the haunted tour.
Well, I'll do anything for a glow stick.
She wanted to play with them again, but another group came in and the energy left the room.
Aww.
Yeah.
They ruined it.
Yeah. On one tour, they were walking through a hallway, and someone found dirty footprints of a child, like, bare footprints, like, no bigger than a child's foot. Yeah. I'm really rocking it with the analogies tonight. There weren't any children on the tour, and no one was barefoot. but they just appeared out of nowhere. Like, the group was walking through, and the front people didn't notice it, but the people in the back noticed it.
So that was walking with them?
Yes.
I love that.
Then one guest was there during the daytime, and she was walking through the hammock trails, which is, like, outside, because there's woods and beach and lighthouse and trails.
This sounds lovely.
It really is beautiful. She saw a young girl in a Victorian outfit sitting on the bench and reading a book. The guest walked up to the girl and asked her a question, but then the guest's party caught up to her, so she kind of, like, did a, hey, I'm just talking to this little girl, and then looked over her shoulder to talk to her party and looked back, and the little girl was gone.
You know what it kind of makes me think of?
What?
John Mulaney's most recent comedy special, I think it was Kid Gorgeous, he opens up with a joke about his mom seeing the ghost of a little girl in a Victorian nightgown that just disappears.
He did mention that.
He did mention that, yeah.
Oh, another time, another tour guide, tour group, they were on the group, and so woman A walks up to woman B and was like, oh my god, your daughter was so well behaved on this tour.
Oh my god.
And woman B's like, what you talking about? I don't have a daughter. Uh-huh, and woman A was like, she was a little girl. She was acting so nicely, and she was following you everywhere you went. And she's like, no, I don't have a daughter. And they confirmed there was not a single child on that tour.
No, I'm sorry. I can't do it.
The saddest report is that the girls can be seen floating in the water at night. So if you're walking along the shore at night, where they died,
like their bodies,
not actually their bodies,
but as if it was their bodies.
Yes, you can see them floating in the water at night.
Okay.
Yeah,
just if you see little girls floating in the water by there at night, don't just assume that they're the ghosts. Call the yeah. people.
Jump in there and try to save
yes
them. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
so we're clear, listeners in St. Augustine.
So moving on to out of the little girl ghosts into the man ghosts. Okay. So on the ground floor of the lighthouse, there is the smell of cigar smoke constantly, despite the fact that the facility has been smoke-free for decades.
Mm.
Sometimes those who smell it, the smoke, will look around and see a, quote, too tall, end quote, shadow figure. When they see it, they feel a sense of fear and foreboding. Locals call the figure nothing but the man. He does not have a hat. I mean, he does have a hat, but it's not a top hat.
I mean, sometimes he's in a fedora. It's like a baseball cap. Is it a beanie? What are we talking about here?
He's seen in a blue jacket and a mariner's cap.
That's not him.
No.
Mariners.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. not everything that looks like marine is spelled... It's said marine.
Listen, I take my words very literally. Okay.
I know.
It's not that funny, but Robin's tired.
I'm so tired. I know this is like the most ridiculous laugh. But I can't. I gotta cough.
But, yes, he's seen in a mariner's cap.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that wrong?
No, you said it correctly.
Okay. Walking up and down the staircase or looking down from the catwalk above. Some think that he is the ghost of William Russell, the man I said would come back later as a ghost. Oh. One of the first keepers for the lighthouse, because William was known for being tall and thin.
Okay.
Yep. That's why they think it's him.
Was he also for boarding, and did he wear a mariner's hat and a blue jacket?
I feel like...
Wait, I thought they said a shadow man.
So, like, they'll call him a shadow man, but then other times when they see him, he does have clothes.
Is he just in shadow sometimes?
I kind of think that there's actually two man ghosts. One is one of these people. I have two more to tell you that it could be. And one is the spirit.
Okay.
And Robin.
Oh, no.
I actually have a photo of this. I'll get to it, I promise, but I have a photo, and I saw a video of it, and it's just like...
Can you show me the video?
Like, yes, but after we finish recording.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Others believe that it may be Joseph and Drew, who supposedly fell from the top of the tower while painting the exterior in 1859. So he was like on a, like a, two ropes and a plywood thing in between. Not really a swinging bench, but kind of made into a swinging bench.
It does not sound safe.
It wasn't very, and he was painting the exterior of the lighthouse. And I don't know if he just lost his balance, if he got hit by a gust of wind, or what happened, but he did end up falling to his death.
Okay.
So some people think it might be him, Joseph. And some people think that the smoke smell is actually not part of the ghost, but is actually the residual from a man named Peter Rasmussen, who was also a lightkeeper there. And his love for the lighthouse kept him there after death, and he was always known for smoking a cigar and keeping an eye on things.
Okay.
So people think that he just sticks around. He's like, this is my lighthouse. I'm going to protect it.
I'm cool with that.
So there are also sights of a woman on the catwalk at the top of the tower. So this is the area outside of the... So if you're picturing a lighthouse, it's like the tower, and there's the lens at the top, and it has a glass room around it, and there's a walkway around that glass room on the outside.
Super fun.
Yes. Love those. And so that's the catwalk. And so she's often seen there. So her name is Maria Mestra de los Dolores.
Okay.
In 1859, she was the first woman in the U.S. Coast Guard. She was assigned duty at the St. Augustine Lighthouse after Joseph Andrew fell to his death, who was her husband.
Aww.
Yeah. So he fell to his death while working at the lighthouse, and so they needed a replacement, so they sent her to be his replacement.
Okay.
And so, being stationed at the island in the very building that her husband died in, doing the duties he once did, just broke her heart a little bit more every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually known to stand on the catwalk and look down at the ground at the place where her husband's body laid and just stare at it, which is so sad.
Yeah.
So she passed away naturally, but people believe that after she passed, that her heart was just back on that catwalk, so she haunts the lighthouse, and people can see her figure to this day on the catwalk just looking down at where her husband's body was.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And she'll disappear. So that's how you know it's a ghost.
Oh, rather than, oh, there's a woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So some smaller things is the staff will lock the tower doors every night before leaving. However, the door is often found open by opening shift. Various things like chairs have been found the following morning upside down or out of place. Inventory from the gift shop will go missing, only to be found in an obvious spot later. Music boxes will turn on by themselves with no one around to touch them. In the keeper's quarters, guests often complain of being cold. And several ghost hunting teams have been to the property, including the Atlantic Paranormal Society, also known as TAPS, and Ghost Hunters. Now, Robin,
mm-hmm.
I got confused. I was like, oh, Ghost Hunters. We get to talk about Zach Bagans again, or Baggins, or whatever his name is. No, he's Ghost Adventures. This is Ghost Hunters.
I love talking about Zach Bagans.
So he actually has been to St. Augustine, but he went to the gallows. And there is one clip that I encourage everybody to search up. I believe you can find it on truetv.com. It's a scene captured titled, Zach Fights the Sun.
What?
It's like a brief behind the scenes clip where Zach like forgot that the sun existed. And he's like, ugh, I haven't seen that in a while. It's really blinding me. And it's just like, and then at the end of the clip, he's like, I can't wait for that thing to go down so I can start hunting some ghosts. It was kind of funny.
Okay.
So that's what I watched. That's the total of what I watched before I started watching the Ghost Hunters episode when I realized, oh, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures are two separate shows.
Ah, man.
But before I get into the actual show of Ghost Hunters, there is somebody on the staff who actually runs a blog, and I will link to it in the show notes, where he talked about his experience at this place. He wrote some more information. Apparently, there have been countless shipwrecks, like I said at the beginning, that contribute to the ghostly population of the lighthouse. However, they didn't find any. And they were able to get two photos and a couple video clips. One of the man looking down at the camera from the staircase and one of Maria standing on the catwalk. Okay. Robin, would you like to see these photos?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
On the left is the man looking down.
Oh, man.
The only edit to this photo beyond the, like, red circle is for contrast.
Wow.
And then Maria, that looks like a person.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, I mean, a blurry person.
But the rest of the photo is blurry, too, so.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. But yeah, 100%, man, can you just imagine that the photo of the man, I think, is the one that's creeping me out the most.
Oh, wait until you see the video. And
getting that photo. Ugh. Okay, wait, seeing the video. Okay.
You can see him move. So the ghost hunter team has been there twice, once in 2006 and once in 2019. I watched the 2019 visit. After the 2006 visit, sightings went up and actually expanded to the woods. They have several videos of the shadow figures. The episode is free on A&E's website. You just have to watch ads. So I definitely recommend heading over there to watch the clips.
Mm-hmm.
In one clip, this is the clip I was about to talk about, you can clearly see an all-black figure grab the railing, look down, realize he's been spotted, and yank himself back.
Oh, man.
So he's, like, conscious and aware of them.
Okay, I got shivers.
I know. Okay. So, one tour guide said she saw the same thing, and another one said that she actually saw a shadow being running up the stairs away from her, but she didn't hear footsteps on the stairs. And these are big metal stairs. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't go up those quietly. And so it was running away and no metal clanging noises.
Wow.
And people have also started saying that they hear the girls giggling in the woods around the property, not just in the lighthouse anymore.
Okay.
So to do their investigation, they put these things called REM pods down. They're like, they looked like a cylinder with an antenna coming out and had a little LED buzzer thing. So they put one at the base and they put one in the middle of the lighthouse and they put one at the top of the lighthouse. And he showed that if any movement happens, the buzzer would go off. So they put it at the top, they put it at the middle, they put it at the bottom, and they were talking. And then they heard the top buzzer going off. They're like, that's the top one. The top one's going off. So they start running up the stairs to get to the top one. And then the one they just passed in the middle starts going off.
Sounds like the giggles.
It's just like the girls. They're playing, like, they, like, repeated this process. Like, one of the woman who was with the, like, main cast member, actually, I think she stepped out for the rest of the episode because they kept running up and down the stairs. But yeah, so like every time they would pass one, or if they got to the bottom, the top would go off, or they got to the top, the bottom one would go off. So it was like playing a game of tag or hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
They passed the middle one at one point, and they're like, hey, can you just make this thing buzz real quick? And then it went off on command. Mm-hmm. So it did start buzzing when they asked for it to go. They also used a machine that's called a tri-field reader. He says that it measures natural energy. I would have to look more into it.
Natural energy?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But it started going off when they asked a ghost to rattle a door. So, like, they were standing right next to the door and saying, hey, can you rattle this doorknob for me? And then a cabinet, half a flight of stairs down, the door swings open and bangs against the metal railing.
Okay.
The tri-field reader spikes to, like, a 10. I don't know what the scale is.
Yeah.
But looking at the screen, it looked like a 10 was somewhere in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I assumed 10 was at the top.
He's like, it's a 10 and 11. I think the max was, like, 20. or 14, I don't know. 15, I don't know. He didn't explain it.
It's okay. It's math.
It's math.
We don't do math.
No. So in the woods, they use an EMF reader to try to get any spikes. And they're in the woods where there's not, like, power running through the woods. So they shouldn't have any interference with the EMF readers. They said that they could hear what sounded like laughter. But they're like, shh, listen. And then all you hear is crickets chirping. So they said they heard something that sounded like laughter, so they started going deeper into the woods. And at this point, I do want to say, I really like how they did things versus how, like, Ghost Adventures does things.
You mean, does anybody pretend to be possessed here?
No. Okay. So, you know how, like, Zach Bagans is, like, kind of famous for purposely antagonizing ghosts?
I didn't know that, but it makes sense. It checks out.
Yeah, no, he will purposefully, like, call up, like, insult ghosts to try to get them to come out at him.
Fun.
And, like a direct quote from these people in the outside, hey, I came here with the fullest respect for you and your area. I'm a dad, so please feel free to speak to me. Like, they were so respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that kind of feels like a little bit more like they actually believe in ghosts.
Rather than just,
for a TV show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because honestly, if I'm going up to a ghost, a real ghost, I'm not going to be like, yo, B, what up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, hi, I want to be your friend.
Mm.
I want to be a ghost's friend.
Mm-mm.
They asked the ghost to say their name, and the EMF reader first spiked to a 7.5 and went back down, then to an 8.5 and then went back down, and then to a 27.5.
What the hell is this scale?
I don't know. Then they heard something in the woods that they called a effin' Sasquatch. Because of the sound, the sound of it made it sound like a really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually in the blog of the guy who was here, he was like, I honestly was kind of afraid I was going to get eaten by an alligator at this point. They couldn't see anything though, but they were like, that's really, really weird that I can't see anything yet. And it's making this big of a noise.
Mm-hmm.
And they even had a thermal camera out there and there was nothing. Not even, like, a bird out in the woods giving off a heat energy.
Okay.
So they believe that was something paranormal, that there was something in the woods. So the overall sentiment of the place was that the lighthouse was more haunted than the last time they were there. However, it was also more welcoming.
Okay.
So that is the story of the St. Augustine Lighthouse.
Now I just really want to go.
Yeah, yeah. It's only a 6-hour drive.
Yeah, I like St. Augustine. Oh, you were... I'd do it.
Well, I just did it, so...
Oh, yeah. You're all Florida'd out for a bit.
I'm all Florida'd out for a bit.
2-for-1. Lighthouse, gallows.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a place that makes good pancakes. 3-for-1.
Lighthouse, gallows, and pancakes.
That's an amazing trip.
Yep. I'm gonna get a t-shirt. Lighthouses, gallows, pancakes.
We're just... coming up with merch ideas left and right.
Woo.
Woo. Thank you for sharing that, Zoe.
You're welcome.
That was a really good story. I honestly really do want to go. Can't wait for the future time that I do go.
Yes.
All right. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, review, tell a friendo, subscribe to our newsletter, and join our Patreon.
Yes.
We're asking a lot of you.
Do it now.
Or at least we're telling you there's things you can't do.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to see my show notes and my blog, you can head over to hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com. Also sources, that's also there.
It's also there.
And if you want to share your own spooky stories or just give us general feedback, tell us how amazing we are, you can write...
You suck!
You can write to us at hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com.
If you are on the interwebs, we are on Twitter at Haunted Host. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Haunted Hospitality. We hope to see you there.
Stay spooky!